I will be presenting the induction for flash-based SSDs with nameless writes. This is a joint work with Leo Araj and our advisors, Andrew and Ramsey, Apache Duso. It is often said that all problems in computer science can be solved by another level of indirection. Indirection is a technique to reference an object with a different name. It offers flexibility, simplicity, and modularity, and therefore it has been used widely in different computer systems. For example, in virtual memory management, virtual memory addresses are mapped to physical memory addresses. In modern hard disks, bad sectors are mapped to nearby locations for better reliability. In RAID constructions, logical addresses are often remapped to provide more flexibility and better performance. Finally, in SSDs, logical addresses are mapped to SSD physical addresses. Although indirection offers many benefits, we'd like to ask if sometimes we've taken it too far that redundant levels of indirection are added in the system, a problem we call excess indirection. As in this abstract example, where we could have mapped object A directly to object C, instead, two levels of indirection are added. A good example of excess indirection exists when we run an OS on top of possibly multiple hypervisors, each maintaining their own indirection of memory management. Another example exists when we have a file system on top of a RAID array. Both the file system and the RAID controller maintain their own indirection. In these and other systems with excess indirection, often not all levels of indirection are needed. Moreover, excess indirection costs both space and performance cost for reasons like processing and maintaining mapping tables. As for the topic of this work, flash-based SSDs, excess indirection also exists. The file system first maps from file offsets to logical addresses. The device then maps logical addresses to physical addresses. Therefore, we have two levels of indirection. Now I will explain a little bit more about indirection in SSDs. The indirection in SSDs is used to provide a traditional block interface and to hide its internal structures and operations, such as the erase before program property of flash memory and wear-leveling operation of SSDs. SSDs often use a flash translation layer, or FTL, to keep the mapping from logical to physical addresses. As in this example, the block at logical address L is returned to physical address P. The SSD then adds a mapping from its logical address to its physical address. Such mapping is often added in the RAM space on device, which creates a huge space cost if we keep a mapping for each flash page. For example, a 1 terabyte device would require 1 GB just to store the mapping table. Instead, modern SSDs use a hybrid approach where they keep a small page mapped area and a big block mapped area. However, there's a performance cost of garbage collection when the page mapped area is full. Such garbage collection cost is often the reason for poor random performance. In fact, as you will hear later in the conference about flash storage in smartphones from the NC lab, random writes in smartphone applications are usually the cause for poor system performance. We propose a technique of deindirection to remove excess indirection. Specifically, we remove the indirection in SSDs by storing physical addresses directly in file system, and therefore collapsing two levels of indirection into one. To enable such deindirection, we proposed a new interface of nameless write. A nameless write is a write without a name or logical address. The file system does not perform allocation. Instead, the device allocates a physical address and returns it to the file system. The file system then stores it in its own structure for future reads. Nameless writes largely reduce the space and performance cost of indirection without giving away device major control, such as wear leveling. We designed several nameless writing interfaces and implemented a nameless writing system. Specifically, we built a nameless writing SSD emulator and ported EXE3 to nameless writes. Our evaluation results show that nameless writes use much smaller indirection table and achieves much better random throughput than traditional SSDs. In the rest of my talk, I will first talk about the basic interfaces of nameless writes and the problems of them and our solutions to them. Next, I will talk about how we build a nameless writing SSD emulator and ported EC3 to nameless writes. Finally, I'll present our evaluation results and conclude. The first basic interface is nameless write, where we write only data and no name. Let's see how it works with example. In this example, the orange block is pointed to by the yellow block in the file system. We can think of the orange block as a data block and the yellow block as an inode block. So the file system wants to write orange block with a nameless write. It sends only the data to the device. The device then allocates a physical address P for it. It then returns the physical address to the file system, which then stores in the structure that points to the written data. The second interface is physical read, where we read using physical address instead of logical address. Finally, since nameless write is an allocation process, the device also needs to be informed about deallocation. When the block is deleted, we send a free or trim command to the device with the physical address that needs to be invalidated. These basic interfaces may seem simple. However, there are several problems of them. First, there's a cost of our strawman nameless write approach, where we use complete deindirection. Second, we need to handle physical address migrations for devices like flash-based SSDs. And finally, we need a mechanism to locate metadata structures efficiently for different tasks. I will explain each of these problems in turn and our solutions to them. To explain the first problem, let's see an example of overwriting the data block in a file in EC3 with nameless writes as the only write interface. Suppose this is a small file in a root directory. So the data block is pointed to by the inode, which is in turn pointed to by the root directory block. The file system wants to write the data with a nameless write. It sends the data to a device. The device allocates physical address P0 for it. It then returns P0 to the file system. The file system now needs to change the inode to point to the physical address of the data block P0. Since the inode block is changed, the file system also writes it, and the device writes it at physical address P1 and returns P1 to the file system. Now the file system also needs to update the root directory block. We use the physical address of the inode block and the offset of the inode within that inode block to point to the inode. And the file system also writes the updated directory block to the device. The device writes it at physical address P2. As we can see in this example, our nameless write strawman approach is problematic for a bunch of reasons. First, we need to update blocks along file system trees. Originally, an overwrite only caused one data write. Now we incur three writes. Also, we need to enforce an ordering in this chain of updates. This process will become worse if we have a long directory chain. Second, we lose certain flexibility and increase complexity in file system implementation. For example, the directory block originally used inode number to point to inode. Now we use the physical address of the inode block and the offset of the inode together to point to the inode. Also, the root directory is not written to fixed location on device now, and we need a different mechanism to locate it. So the previous example shows a problem of recursive updates, where writes need to be propagated to reflect physical addresses. To solve this problem, we proposed two segments of address space to stop recursive updates. The first address space is physical address space, where we perform nameless writes and physical reads. The second address space is virtual address space, where we perform traditional or virtual reads and writes. We also keep an indirection table in the device for the virtual address space to map from logical address to physical address. For file systems like EC3, we map all data blocks to the physical address space and all metadata blocks to the virtual address space. Metadata is usually small in typical file system images. Therefore, the indirection table for the virtual address space is also small. Now let's see how segmented address space works with EC3. We map all data blocks, which is the majority of the file system images, to physical address space and use nameless writes. We send only data to a device. The device then allocates physical addresses for them and writes them to their physical locations, and finally returns the physical addresses back to the file system. We map all metadata, including superblock, inode and data bitmap, inode blocks, directory blocks, and journal blocks to the virtual address space and use virtual writes. We send both data and logical addresses to the device. The device allocates physical addresses for them and adds a mapping from their logical addresses to their physical addresses and writes them at their physical locations. Now let's revisit the same example of overwriting a data block with segmented address space. Similarly, the file system writes a data block with a nameless write. The device writes it at P0 and returns P0 to the file system. The file system updates the inode to point to P0. Now, since the inode is mapped to the virtual address space, we use a virtual write and send both its data and its logical address L1 to the device. The device writes it at physical address P1 and adds a mapping from its logical address L1 to its physical address P1. The directory block does not need to be updated now because it always points to the inode number of the inode. Now we only have one level of update propagation. Segmented address space therefore largely reduced overhead of recursive updates. It also simplifies implementation and reduces file system changes. The second problem comes from the need for devices like flash-based SSDs to migrate physical data. Flash blocks have limited lifetime, usually 10 to 100,000 erase cycles. When data is written with different frequencies, blocks that are written more often tend to die sooner than the rest. To prevent certain blocks from unusable too soon, SSDs often use a technique called wear leveling to move data so that erases can be distributed evenly. Now let's use an example to see how wear leveling become a problem for nameless writes. In this example, the orange data block was first written to physical address P1. P1 is also stored in the inode block that points to it. Later, during a wear leveling operation, the SSD moves data block from P1 to P2. After it's been moved, its old address can be erased and written with new data. However, the file system still thinks the physical address of the moved data is at P1 and reads it using P1. And now the device will return wrong data from P1. Therefore, any physical address changes needs to be informed to the file system. Notice that we do not need to worry about address changes in the virtual address space because we keep an indirection table for this space. To solve the second problem, we propose a new interface called migration callbacks to let the device inform file system about physical address changes. Let's use the same example to see how it works. The device moves the data block from P1 to P2 during wear leveling. Then it adds a remapping entry from its old address P1 to its new physical address P2 and sends both the old and new physical address to the file system. During this time, reads and overwrites can be received to the old address, which are then remapped to the new physical address using the remap table. Later, the file system processes the callback and update the metadata to point to the new physical address. And finally, the file system sends acknowledgement to the device so that the device can remove the remapping entry. Finally, there's a problem of how we can locate metadata structures efficiently for tasks like callbacks. Naively, we can traverse all metadata, which is obviously too time-consuming. Instead, we propose to use a small amount of metadata we call associated metadata to locate metadata structures efficiently. For example, if we include inode number, inode generation number, and block offset in the associated metadata, then we can locate inode structure that points to a data block efficiently.
We send the associated metadata together with nameless rights to the device and stores it adjacent to the data pages on device. For example, we choose to store it in the out-of-band area for flash devices. Now let's see how the associated metadata and migration callbacks work together in XT3. As explained before, during a wire-leveling operation, the device moves physical data and adds a remapping table for them. In this example, the data blocks at physical address P1, P3, and P5 are moved to physical address P2, P4, and P6. For each migrated data block, we create a callback entry which contains its old and new physical addresses, its associated metadata, and the time it's been moved. At the end of the wire-leveling operation, the device sends all the callback entries to the file system. The file system then stores the callback entries in the hash table keyed by the associated metadata. For the same associated metadata, we only store the most recent physical address of a data block. A background process in the file system then processes the hash table and uses the associated metadata to locate the metadata structures that needs to be updated. As in the example, inode block 1 contains the first data block, and inode block 2 contains the second and third data block. The file system then updates these metadata structures to point to the new physical addresses. The file system then includes all updated metadata structure to a journal transaction and writes them to a device. When the transaction commits, the file system sends an acknowledgement to a device, and the device removes the remapping entries accordingly. Now I will briefly discuss how we implemented nameless writing SSD emulator and ported XT3 to nameless writes. More details of our implementation can be found in our paper. A nameless writing device first needs to support different nameless write interfaces. It also handles block allocation. Since we allow the device to perform any kind of allocation, we choose to use log structured allocation for better sequential-like performance. The nameless writing device also maintains a small mapping table for the indirection in the virtual address space and the temporary remapping table for callbacks. We let the device maintain its control of garbage collection and wire leveling. We try to minimize physical address migration to reduce the overhead of callbacks. For example, we implemented an in-place garbage collection method to remove the need for data migration. We ported XT3 to nameless writes. XT3 is a journaling file system based on the XT2 file system. It has three journaling modes. We choose to use ordered journal mode because it is a widely used mode and it fits well with nameless writes. In ordered journal mode, data is always returned before metadata, so we do not need to incur any additional ordering for nameless writes. We changed XT3 in several ways to support nameless write interfaces. We first classify data and metadata and place them in different address spaces. For the physical address space, we add nameless write and physical read interfaces. We also add free and callback support. Our total lines of code is around 4,300, and most of the changes are in XT3 and generic IO. In our experience, the segmented address space largely reduced the complexity of our implementation. Now I will briefly discuss about our evaluation results. More results can be found in our paper. We built an SSD emulator as a Linux pseudo block device and store all data in memory for better emulation. We studied three FTLs. First, we built a page level FTL where we keep a mapping for each flash page and use log structured allocation. Therefore, it is ideal in performance but unrealistic in mapping table space. Second, we implemented a hybrid FTL where we keep a small page mapped area and a large block mapped area. We try to model real SSDs with hybrid FTL. Therefore, it is realistic both in performance and in mapping table space. Finally, we implemented nameless write interfaces. So now let's first see the mapping table space cost of the three FTLs. We use impressions to generate file system images. As we can see in this example, page level mapping has huge space cost. Hybrid FTL has moderated mapping table space cost. In contrast, nameless write use trivial space cost. It's around 2 to 7% mapping table space cost as compared to traditional hybrid SSDs. Now let's see how they perform. We ran sequential and sustained 4 KB random writes on all three FTLs. In this graph, we plot throughput in KIOPS. First, we can see that nameless writes performs much better than hybrid FTL for random writes. Also, we see that nameless writes perform close to page level FTL, which serves as the performance upper bound. We also ran micro benchmarks such as VarMail file server and web server. And in this graph, we can see that the performance for web server for all three FTLs are similar because the web server only has less than 4% random writes. For the other two workloads, hybrid FTL performs worse because these workloads have more random writes. In summary, we addressed the problem of excess indirection in flash-based SSDs using deindirection with nameless writes. We implemented a nameless writing system. Specifically, we built an emulated nameless writing SSD and ported XT3 to nameless writes. Our evaluation results show that nameless writes largely reduced the space cost of indirection and improved random write performance significantly over traditional SSDs. Nameless writes also reduce energy cost and simplify SSD firmware implementation. To conclude, let's revisit the famous quote, "All problems in computer science can be solved by another level of indirection," which is usually attributed to Butler Lampson. Lampson, however, attributes it to David Wheeler. What has been overlooked by many of us is that there's actually another part of the original code, as Wheeler usually added, but that usually will create another problem. And that problem is excess indirection, where we have redundant levels of indirection. We propose deindirection to remove excess indirection. Our results show many benefits of deindirection. However, we should also notice that there are certain limitations of deindirection. For example, there are overheads of the recursive update problem. Therefore, we propose architecture of partial indirection, where we keep a small part of indirection, but perform deindirection on the rest of the space, as in our example of segmented address space. We think such architecture can be useful in wider scenarios. Thank you.
Jeff Canning, Harvey Mudd College. I'm going to start with an apology because I'm about to ask a fairly mean question. But my question isn't really for you. My question is really for the room and the community. We talk about indirection here. We are pretending that SSDs are in fact disks. It would have been really stupid to run the Berkeley Fast File System on tapes. Why, if you're going to change the flash translation layer, why not just expose the realities of flash and write a file system that's designed for the device that we're actually driving?
So actually, there are actually file systems designed on raw flash, but we think with such approach, we let the device exposed to the file system. So the vendor cannot control the properties of SSDs. For example, the SSD can die very soon with a bad implementation of file system or a bug. So we still let the device maintain its control of where leveling, and we think this is the way to go for vendors.
If you have a question, if you would walk up to the mic so everyone can hear you, that would be great.
Margo Seltzer from Harvard University and Oracle Labs. So I'm confused about your metadata calculations because I understand you're getting rid of the mapping table that maps from virtual addresses to physical addresses for all the data blocks. But I thought you said you're also keeping this auxiliary metadata that allows you to do the callbacks, which includes the inode, the offset, and the generation number. So that seems to me to be larger than the mapping table, and so I'm confused what happens to that.
So for that associated metadata, that's what we call it, we store it in the OOB area of Flash, which is usually enough. So we have like less than 48 bytes for a 4 KB Flash page, and usually the Flash device provides 128 bytes in the out-of-band area. So we store these associated metadata in the out-of-band area.
Keith Smith, NetApp Advanced Technology Group. So as I understand the interface you're using for the nameless writes, I basically give you a block, and after you write it, you give me back an address. I'm wondering if you've thought about or explored, as long as you're changing this interface, making it slightly richer. I mean, if I could tell you these blocks are going to be deleted together, that would help with the Flash's wear leveling and things like that. And if I know they're all part of the same file, at the file system level, that's something I could potentially be informing the Flash layer about.
Yeah, certainly I think that could be useful to extend the interface. So we already use a free and trim interface for that. I think the interface can be enriched to for wider uses.
Ethan Miller, University of California, Santa Cruz. I'll build on what Keith said, and we actually already have an interface that does this. An object-based interface, there's a standard T10 that does this, allows you to, instead of getting a name back, saying, here's what I want to call it, and by the way, these blocks are all together, they're all part of the same object. You end up having to build a storage management system on the file system, but you already had one of those, on the SSD, but you already had one of those in the file system anyway. It might be worth looking at that as an alternative, because it does let you simplify the file system a lot, but then, you know, let the SSD do all the management stuff internally, and as Brent said, you got one interface, you can talk to anybody's SSD.
Yeah, that can be a good suggestion.
Thank you. Let's thank the speaker once again.